High and low. Make sure you sign up for the NFL.com/pick'em page. All the heroes from around the NFL, the two stars of Move the Sticks, and everybody from the Dave Dameshek football program are going to be in there. I'm going to pin it to the top of my Twitter page, at Dameshek, of course, and on Facebook. Play along with us all season long, won't you? Terrific. Greg Rosenthal's even doing it, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm signed up for it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. So I hope everybody else will do it, too. All right. Tell you what, let's start the show.
It's the footballiest time of the year. With quarterbacks throwing and tailgaters ready for some brats and beer. It's the footballiest time of the year. It's the pig skinniest season of all. Belichick is still frowning and Cleveland still browning. We root for Steelers. It's the pig skinniest time of the year.
We did it! We made it through the bum off season. What a junk stretch of months that was, everybody.
Horns.
Well done.
Hi, confetti. And
confetti, exactly.
Confetti.
That's what we need. Confetti.
Football fans. Gather round, it's time for football season, everybody. I don't hope all's well wherever you are. I know it is, because it is time for football, and more football for the next, 20 or so weeks, whatever it is. Let's get right to it. Let's begin the season-long How much?
I mean, you know, you got 16 weeks of games.
But 17 weeks.
Now follow me. So that really becomes 17, right?
Right.
So, and then you've got three rounds
three
of the playoffs, and then you got the Super Bowl.
And the Pro Bowl.
And you have a week off. 22 weeks.
22 weeks. How about that?
22?
Huh?
22.
Hopefully 17 soon, plus 5.
Hopefully soon to be replaced by the by my beloved Garbage Bowl.
Yes.
Garbage.
Because that's what players want to compete
in.
I'm gonna go out there and play this very physical sport team can get a better draft pick. That's what I'm going
to
do.
We're not jumping to the end of the story yet. The start of the season is here. We'll say hello to everybody in just a second. Real quick, wanted to let you know the Pick'em show is back. NFL Pick'em. All podcasts around the NFL, Move the Sticks, and the DDFP available for your viewing pleasure on Saturday. Coming up this weekend to start things off, we're telling you all the Sunday and Monday winners for NFL Week 1, Saturday the 9th, 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern, and then on Sunday, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Whoa.
So when you wake up nice and early, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm up at 3 a.m. out here on the West Coast.
You won't be.
I could be.
No.
I will.
You'll get up 5 minutes before it's
if I don't go to bed. Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I may not be able to sleep at night. I really am one of those
that
ones.
That excited.
The Christmas song is apropos because for a grown-up who's arrested in adolescence as I am, football season.
That's it.
Hey,
Dave,
nothing else. Yes.
On that Pick'em show, my new favorite podcast is the Game Theory and Money podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Are they represented on there as well?
Game Theory and Money with Matt Money Smith and the synthesizer Cindy Freeman.
I didn't know who it was.
Funny you bring it up.
Yeah.
For your earballs every Thursday in season.
Brand spanking new.
Yeah. Go ahead and subscribe to that one. Yet another.
You know how I like to sell it?
How's that?
Hey, if you like math. This is the pot for you. That's hot. What do you think?
Wow.
Hard pass from Dameshek. Yeah. I've given my feelings on math before.
It's not palatable to most football fans.
And yet, I'm going to subscribe.
I'm going to listen to it.
To listen to it. I can't wait. Let's say hello. Starting off with one half of the Game Theory and Money, which I really think Free and Money would be a clean.
Free Money.
Yeah, Free Money.
I'm better named for it. Here she is, everybody. Mama Freeland's favorite child, Cindy Freeland. All right, that's enough. We don't have time for Hokum. We can't play full songs. We got to keep going here. Cindy, welcome to football season. Next up, the other half of the Free and Money show, available on Thursdays and on iTunes, and of course, the radio voice of your Los Angeles Chargers this year. Can't wait to follow the exploits of Matt Money Smith as the Chargers get it going here and listening to him on the radio. Here he is, everybody. Oh, also, still, his day job. one half of the host of the best radio show in all the land.
And wait. He also hosts Fantasy Live.
Yeah, that's enough. Can we?
Exactly.
It's Matt Money.
All right, that's enough.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst.
That's enough.
There we go.
That's all we needed to hear. All right, that's it. And lastly,
I can perform it live.
Not leastly, the man whose emotions are tethered to one Jay Cutler this season. He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan, all the way from London, England. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
And that's enough.
No, I want to hear. Well, I want to hear that whole one. I like.
That's enough.
No, all right, that's enough. That's fair. We'll cut it off right there.
I just realized I'm in Hank's seat.
Yep, but I can describe myself literally now, which has always been an ambition as Dave's right hand man.
But I'm a creature of habit.
Right.
Switch it up. I can't have it. How am I supposed to think straight if I'm all backwards?
What if I talk like Hank the whole podcast?
Dave's like,
what if I talk like Money?
What if I talk like Hank?
I'll be Money today.
Well, I could be Hank. Confetti.
It's Oscar the Grouch. All right, just stay seated. All right, stay where you are.
Right.
Let's jump into it. We have a lot of business to get to because guess what? Dave got a little off track here and there on the podcast the last month or so as we tried to cover every division. What we aspired to do several weeks ago was per episode cover one division. We had 8 shows to do it in, and all of a sudden we're backlogged here on the day of the season kickoff.
3 divisions that
we have
covered here.
We got through 5. That's not that pretty bad.
Good. Season pretty begins this evening.
Yeah.
You got through 5?
We did 5 out of the 8. Okay. Let's quickly do them and then give a more overarching.
Quickly last time.
Oh, punctuated by. Where's my parade? I don't know. But 5 years in a row. I have correctly predicted what the Steelers' final record's going to be by show's end. I will predict it again.
5 years in a row. Exact number.
Exact number. MVP. Tell them about it.
I'm not denying it.
Tell them
I'm just saying that's something. That's remarkable.
You've told everyone about it in every show for
And yet Matt Money Smith, seated to my immediate left, is surprised by that.
It seems
predicting
like
predicting the Steelers' record. A nominee for most overused check bit.
Life's not a bit, and that's your reality. Cindy Freeland, check the numbers on that. When you say what the record's going to be and that's what the record is, that's accurate. That's no bit. That's fact.
I was a little distracted by a picture of a puppy, but yes, you're right. That is fact.
I'm going to tell you what the Steelers' final record's going to be amongst other big predictions. I'm not ready to go there yet. Okay. Let's start it off with the NFC North. Let's not belabor it. Let's start from the bottom, though. And Cindy, we'll start with you. Who's your fourth place team in the North?
Bears.
Matt Money Smith?
Bears.
Yeah, although I've been talking about that throughout the offseason, that I think that, they get the interior of their offensive line back. I like year 3.
They're the fourth place team. We're not going to get through this.
We
all agree they're in fourth place.
And you made a great prediction.
We all agree.
How
about this? How about this, Sheck? I'll give you a little nugget. Word on the street is that Tyreek Cohen is special. So why don't you pick him up on the waiver wire for your fantasy team?
When does Mitch Trubisky take over?
That's a great question.
Week 6.
I was just going to say week.
Let's move on.
Okay,
let's do next one.
Okay, Detroit Lions are our third place team.
They
is everybody
sure are.
Detroit Lions
in lockstep on that one?
Yes,
Matt Money Smith.
Los Leones. Yep.
Really?
Lionsy poos go next up.
Listen, just very quickly.
What nugget?
Freeland.
What nugget would you like to?
I have no nugget, but Cindy Freeland is our resident Lions fan. Take a second here. I know you're always glum about it, but what are their? What's their legitimate? You really don't buy that they could be a decent team? I could see them surprising.
Lie downs. Go.
There you go.
Money, you're still with – you don't think they're going to be a halfway decent team this year?
We all just said they'd be third. Let's keep it moving, Dave.
I'm just surprised that no one wants to vouch for the Detroit Lions. It's not like there's some abject bummery.
That's why they gave Matt Stafford all that money. It's the one thing that the fans can get excited about. Well, at least we got a quarterback that can really throw it around. That's it. That's all they got.
Well, they got more than that. But all right.
Barely.
Next up, second place team, NFC North.
Minnesota Vikings.
Because
they're going to be better than the two teams below them, but worse than the team that's above them. Also, because I like Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook is going to be a really fun rookie to watch.
I got something on this one.
Let's go.
I have the Vikings going to the playoffs as the second place team in the NFC North, as the wild card. I love the addition of Dalvin Cook. You already have a very despite Sam Bradford not having a lot in the run game and a very questionable O-line last year, he was incredibly accurate. I think that gets nothing but better when you have the threat of Dalvin Cook in the backfield. I think the Vikings defense is nasty. I think we see the Vikings go to the wild card NFC.
Ooh, 10 and 6, something like that, 10 and 6?
Something like that, yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, I buy that. And by the way, update for those of you who are interested in such things. I had my big auction league draft the other night.
No one cares about other people's fantasy
leagues. This doesn't help.
I don't. This isn't helping. I am not telling you about my team or anything like that, or not over-explaining who's on my team. But people are intrigued by that. I get a lot of tweets about it. So let me say now, I did survive. This is the league where Cousin Sal from the Kimmel Show, he concocted like 8 years ago, the previous year's champ, on the night of the draft when everybody is assembled, then and only then, he must announce who he's kicking out for the season. And
who
you
got the
get
boot?
Up
who
and
got
walk out in shame. Well, it came down to a Connect Four head-to-head. Two guys, it was Tony and Kyle versus Sporty Simmons, and they had to play Connect Four. Kyle failed miserably. Simmons survived. And it was interesting to me, my little strategy. I wanted to get David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell went to Sal instead. So I thought Dalvin Cook will be a nice pickup instead.
Too expensive.
I'm bidding and bidding. And all of a sudden, Bill Simmons, of all people, is like, I'm at 32, 34, 36. And I'm like, why is Bill Simmons so interested in Dalvin Cook? What does he care about Dalvin Cook? I found out the next day that someone at The Ringer, Robert Mays, wrote a lengthy piece about how Dalvin Cook's going to be. I just like this Dalvin Cook.
I like Dalvin Cook, too.
You know what I don't like?
Never seen him play.
Just
because everybody is farting purple confetti right now. Here's what I don't like, okay?
Confetti!
I say toot.
Here's your offensive line. Riley Reiff, Nick Easton, Pat Elflein, the rookie, Joe Berger, and Mike Remmers. That's not good.
No.
That's really bad for you. Sam Bradford, who's not the most mobile of quarterbacks back there. So that's why I would just say, I don't know about 10-6 in a wild card.
You know,
that O-line
throws a nasty block. You know who throws a – like, not all tight ends are created equal with blocking? Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, he's old school, kind of, the way he's built, the way he's put the game.
He eats donuts domer, when they win. I like that.
Golden domer.
I just,
push
man,
you
that
around.
That's asking a lot from that group of five
Our pal Matt Harmon, one half of the Fantasy Hipsters, predicts a huge breakout for Stephon Diggs, by the way.
So he predict-
also predicted that last year. And it started out well and failed miserably.
Yeah. And of course,
he'll be right one day.
Your NFC
just
North
keep banging
champs.
That drum.
Keep going.
The champs of the North, as it seems they are every year, we're going to go with Cindy Freeland.
Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers. Yeah, are they the best team in the entire NFC, Mike?
It's 1-1A.
Second.
I think it's 1-1A in the NFC. Yeah. I think we know the two teams are going to be in the NFC Championship.
Yep. And I think the Falcons. I think this narrative, and there's
that's fair.
There are numbers to support that if you're the runner-up in the Super Bowl, save the Broncos a few years ago, that does mess you up emotionally or otherwise, or maybe there's some physical toll that comes from going all the way to the Super Bowl and playing those extra games and not getting the Lombardi as a payoff for it. I think the Falcons are going to be really good.
Me too.
I think that defense is going to be mighty this year for Dan Quinn. I don't think the offense has to be as good as
that's,
it was
you
like.
Did there.
That's what
mighty
I
and Quinn in the yeah. same. That was clever.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
See? I'm so clever, I can just stumble
into
puns.
All right, I think we're on the
said,
next one. We still got the AFC South. Oh, Packers, yeah.
Yeah. AFC South. Anybody want to weigh in? Anybody got any reason?
I mean, there's tons of reasons, but I think most
to knock the Packers?
I still don't like their defense a lot.
I hear you.
Secondary questions, yes, but secondary. Apart from that, you've got
– I'm not crazy about Nick Perry.
Which is why the Seahawks beat them in the NFC Championship.
I'm not
Seahawks
crazy.
Seahawks not going to beat them this week, though.
I'm not crazy about the number 88.
Not this week.
On a running back. It messes with my brain. Next up, the AFC South, the most anonymous division.
Huh? I'm sorry, I need to back up. He's sticking with that.
He's staying with 88.
That's
seems like you shouldn't be allowed
that's
to.
That's stupid.
I'm all for the players wearing what
I don't think you are allowed
that's
to.
Stupid. I like the way you said
I don't think
stupid.
You are too as a running back allowed to wear that, right? They I'm guessing
it's
they have to
very
list
well
him as a running
to say
back wide receiver.
We have to use him as a running back, but now that he is a running back, he shouldn't be allowed to wear it.
AFC South, fourth right,
Dave,
place team, Handsome Hank, who you got?
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be the fourth place team in that division.
Cindy Freeland?
Jaguars, for sure.
Thank you.
For sure? Number four. I got a different one for you.
Number four.
I'm going Colts.
I'm going Colts, too.
I think we do not know. It is too shady with this shoulder thing. I will not be surprised if Andrew Luck does not play a whole lot this season.
I'm a sucker, but I'm with you, Money. This thing that it seems to me like everybody's kind of naive just taking the Colts with their vague wording. Like, oh, well, then that means he'll be back in week two, right? Like, you don't know when he's going to be back.
I think the bigger impact that the Colts could have is if or when Andrew Luck comes back, it could actually mess up their division games against the Titans and the Texans. That's like really,
yeah, kind of true.
The only thing that could happen, it could mess around with 1-2. But I think
I don't think people realized how bare the cupboard was talent wise for Chris Ballard. Like what he inherited, oh, yeah, a mess.
Gregson messed them up good. Yeah. Personified by them taking Philip Dorsett, who they just gave away basically, instead of taking Landon Collins, who was sitting right there. I know you could do that with every draft for every team, but that one looms as though, imagine if they would have made that move a couple years ago instead of taking Philip Dorsett.
I don't know. I have more faith in Ballard than that. I think Ballard gets them to the point.
And that can be great. It's just going to take them a while.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. So, yeah.
But when you have, I mean, like you can't really go off like trying to replace Andrew Luck, but you can build around him. And I think even the Jacoby Brissett thing that we saw, Brissett's like a big bodied, like wild card. So they could create some chaos putting Jacoby. I mean,
like, you take Andrew Luck off the field if he's healthy and you're insane. I just think that's.
Oh, no, no.
Like, I don't mean,
no, no. My point is between Tolzien and Jacoby Brissett. Not between. No, no, no.
All
no,
season
no, no.
long.
All, yeah, what I'm talking
is,
about is
if it's Luck
not.
Is out.
I'm saying if Luck is out, you could create some chaos with Jacoby Brissett.
The question is, though, if you get back, if Luck is healthy by week six and you're 0-6, do you throw him into the fire or do you just say.
To me, you know, the bigger angle on that is that the Colts should serve as a cautionary tale for the Jets. Well, now what's done is done. But for any of these teams that sort of like, let's just kind of tank it. Like, yeah, you know.
Suck for Luck.
Suck for Luck has now turned into scam for Sam Darnold, or maybe now it's Josh Rosen, whoever you fancy there. It doesn't mean that that's the panacea and everything's all better for the next 15 years because you got the QB.
Rosen for Rosen.
Throwing.
Whoa.
Like throwing that. The season for Rosen.
I'm sorry.
Throwing the season for Rosen.
Stop it, yeah. Please. Sorry. Okay, third place after that embarrassment. Cindy, who's
Colts.
That? Colts.
Jags.
Colts.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, okay. So
one
we agree
other.
About that. Money, second place team?
Texans.
Oh, their string of divisional dominance ends there in Houston.
Hey, yeah, I got the Texans. They're a 10-6 team that makes the playoffs as a wild card team, the second wild card team in the AFC, but doesn't win the division, Dave.
I keep saying it. Of all the storylines that everybody obsesses over, nobody talks about the fact that the Texans have owned the AFC South now, in spite of never really having a good quarterback. If Deshaun Watson proves come October-ish that he is the guy, or maybe even Tom Savage optimistically pays off. Remember the draft a few years ago? Like, oh, Tom Savage, where'd he come from? He's going to be an NFL quarterback. Well, now he is an NFL quarterback starting for a division champ.
Right. Owning the AFC South is a bit like owning a failing dive bar. It's not exactly, you know, it's nice.
It's not a bad place to work.
It's like a good dive bar.
There's free drinks when you want it, but it's not exactly, you know, it's not the
NFC. The booty isn't exactly what you want to get for owning a bar. Right.
It's more the ascension of Marcus Mariota, too. Right. I think it's just you have to compare that to the rest of the division.
And Derek Henry.
I always go back to it's mean-spirited to say, but go back and look at Mike Mularkey's career coaching record.
It's not
this
good.
Is a guy who this is the guy who you're pinning your hopes on?
I mean, what's Bill O'Brien giving us, you know?
Three straight division titles. That's the answer to that.
An amazing chin.
It's an ashtray chin, that's for sure.
And some great lines on Hard Knocks a couple of years ago.
He said some words I do not.
I'm taking the Texans, for the record, to win the division.
So I'm with you because I looked at their schedules, and if you look and see the end of the schedule, so the last few games for the Titans go, I'm going in reverse order, so Jags last, Rams, Niners, Cardinals, Texans, Colts, Steelers. So
it's pretty friendly.
It's not that bad for the but listen to this one. This one's even
this
more.
This is the Texans.
Friendly. This is the Texans. Colts, Steelers. Steelers after Steelers week 16, or it's on Christmas.
Christmas.
So, well, second to last week or whatever. Jags, Niners, Titans, Ravens, Cardinals, but they're a little earlier. So I guess my point is I think given a slightly favorable end of season schedule, I think that that's how the Texans edge out The
I mean, it's going to come down to head-to-heads.
Titans.
You know, can the Titans sweep the Texans? Right. Can the Texans sweep the Titans? It'll be close. You know, look, I won't be surprised if the Texans win. There'll be a game that separates them.
But again. Everybody likes to talk about. People have pined for this since the day Jadeveon Clowney was drafted. It would appear that you're going to have a pretty healthy Watt, Clowney, Merciless, and the rest. That defense may end up being number one in the NFL by the time the season ends there. That's the difference for me. And plus, Luke Hopkins looked good once Savage got in there. I think he's going to get back to the form that everybody expects him to play at. All right, so there's your division there. We're mixed on who's going to claim it. Is anybody saying Texans for you guys who say they're not winning the division? Are they at least a wild card?
I just said that.
Oh, wild card for you?
No.
No. Okay. Lastly, let's round it out. NFC South. This is one of those divisions, along with the NFC East. I think you could shake them up, and you could make a compelling argument for any of the four teams finishing first or last. Money. Let's start with you. Who's your fourth place team?
This is tough. I'm gonna go Panthers last place.
You know what? Lately, I'm starting to come around on that idea. I have loved the Panthers and specifically Cam for years now, but I'm not going to go there. I'm gonna go with the Saints.
I'm also going to the southernmost point of that division as the southernmost team.
Cindy,
same team.
I'd be the same.
Wait, New Orleans isn't the southernmost team. Not a further south than Tampa.
You're right.
Yeah.
He's from England. It's the opposite.
I don't know geography.
I don't know.
It's possible that New Orleans could be further south than Tampa.
I'm going to map the continental U.S., which I once stated without any irony.
Listen, this is
the
a
first
man
president was had, Abraham Lincoln.
This is without a man that any knows.
He's without a good president.
He knows more of New Orleans than any of us.
Right. That's true.
All right.
Handsome did, though, for the record, in a Who Knows America Better, him or Jay Ajayi, he did want to say handsome that
Tampa's
Abe
further
Lincoln
south,
was
Emma
our
just said it.
Just because Emma said it doesn't make it true.
I believe Emma.
I do as well. I'd be more.
If a voice in my ear says I believe
it's
to be
way
true.
Way further south.
Way further? I tried to back you there, Henry.
Thank you very much.
Cindy, did you weigh in?
You believed it.
I did.
You say New Orleans money. How say you?
I said I'll go.
You say. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting confused.
I got Panthers last, New Orleans third.
I'm drunk. What do you want from me? Next up, third place team, Handsome Hank.
Carolina Panthers.
Ditto.
New Orleans.
Okay.
I like that Drew Brees. I like him for, you know, a nice 7-9 season when things are bad and an 11-5 when they're really good.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everybody falls into this thing annually when they watch Hard Knocks.
It was all before Hard Knocks, though. Everybody was excited about Tampa.
As the third place
team.
They're all really good team. I think the Saints are not some
I think a game,
junk
a
team.
Game and a half
they're not,
separates
but their defense
every
is
it's a tough division.
I know that the Panthers have some questions on defense, but I you know, I'm riding
I think
with
their
Cam.
Defense
I'm
is better than people give them credit.
So wait, you took the Saints last in Tampa. Okay.
I love
I like this. A lot of variation in this room.
Well, that's
I think they're all separated by a game and a half. I don't think it'd be very surprising.
Maybe it's my ongoing resentment for the uniforms.
Don't like the
I thought you took the Panthers with me for last.
I said I'm starting to feel the sentiment.
But they're still second in the division.
I think that they do end up. Cam ends up getting up over Jameson.
I like that, Christian.
You sort your thoughts out first, and then.
I didn't. Those aren't conflicting things to say. I've been high on the. I'm talking about that. I had the Panthers returning to division champs, so to knock them down to second is following through on what I just said.
You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like someone that buys a lot off of infomercials on TV. Really, I can seal a boat and drive it on a swamp with that stuff.
Huh?
What are you talking about?
I go
Panthers fourth, and you're like,
you know what? I'm coming around
on
that as well.
And these two rip me apart, and you go, that's why I've got the Panthers second.
Right. All of you are the ones getting duped by what you saw on the TV. Oh, Hard Knocks. Oh, Jameis is funny.
It was before Hard Knocks we got excited about Tampa.
Gerald McCoy says funny stuff. Oh, they must be the division champs.
Jameis in the third year as an elite quarterback.
I don't think any of us.
I think O.J. Howard neutralizes the middle of the field, the stability in the middle of the field. Deshaun Watson on the third level,
dominant player at every level of the defense.
Yeah,
that's funny because I remember a podcast not so long ago where one Matt Money Smith sat to my immediate left and talked about his concerns about Dirk Cutter.
I do. I am not a Dirk Cutter fan. You're absolutely right.
I like his shorts.
Absolutely right. I am not a Dirk Cutter fan.
Dirk.
What have the Packers been doing? What's the knock on the Packers? What is the one concern about that team?
I don't know.
Secondary.
What?
Is Mike McCarthy really that good of a coach? Yeah. Is he really that good of a coach? That's yet because they have
I
a
like
really good
throughout a different
secondary. Yeah. I mean, that would be mine as well.
Yeah, but secondary. I mean, that's always been the knock. You know, Aaron Rodgers really coaches that
half.
Team, and he's, you know, you'll kind of overcome that. And look, you can overcome Dirk Cutter. Right. Just take all the helmets off the out of your office. Don't let people know you've freaking been a coach for 25 teams and you've been fired by them all.
I think that just shows that he figures out how to get jobs. That's pretty impressive. We should all be learning how to do that, right?
You know, the best coaches have
many,
a lot fewer
many,
helmets than
that's
that.
That's definitely too
many. Yeah, the Sydney really good Freeland. Coaches have considerably fewer helmets
Sydney Freeland has gone monk on
in
us.
Here.
She has her hands tucked
Listen,
into her
I'm always
sleeve.
Freezing. It's freezing.
You know, the season's
place.
Back. We're yelling at one another, right?
As I've said before, I'll say it again.
It's full.
You know, listen. I am pleased that our society moves ever closer to true equality in the workplace with men and women. One thing that there is a distinct difference. Women in the workplace, when they feel chilly, are allowed to drape a blanket on themselves at their desk.
If by drape you mean
women
around
in the workplace
myself, yes.
here have blankets up to their necks. I'm like, imagine if
for
I were
Christmas,
doing that.
For Christmas, the people on game day morning got me like a Snuggie.
That. I could not
That is
why
a
not?
Keen observation, Damashek, because you do not see men with blankets around them.
Why silly in see. Here.
Why couldn't you do it? Dave?
You could.
I
yeah,
could.
Don't see
says
it.
Says he can't.
And I'd be made fun of if I were
no,
to do
No, you
that.
Wouldn't.
When I
try it out
I
one
pre-tape
time.
The, when I pre-tape my stuff, it's so cold in the pre-tape room, I put a blanket around my legs, and I'm just standing there like I look like the Statue of Liberty.
One asterisk we can put next to that. I have seen on more than one occasion when they're outside on the set, I have seen Deion Sanders drape a blanket across
That's
his leg.
It
blanket.
Doesn't get more
That's
manly.
That's a cape. That's a cape.
Division champ, NFC South 2017, Cindy Freeland. Who's it going to be?
Hotlanta.
Falcons.
Yes.
Wow, I'm surprised by that. I thought I was revolutionary by suddenly realizing, because it came to me late. I was all set to go Panthers, and I thought about the Bucks for a minute, and then I realized, you know what, Dan Quinn, that pass rush, man, that, and then think about the secondary they have back there, young, athletic, the
well, and
speed,
healthy. And now healthy, you know, that's what people forget is their number one corner was out last year, so
Beasley and Tack, egad. That's going to be nasty, right?
I like that, Tack
Beasley
McKinley.
Tack,
who by the way shut down his social media.
Who did?
Activity. Tack
Who did?
McKinley said, hey, man, the season's here. I got no time to be chat snapping.
Like LeBron James in the playoffs.
Yep.
I want you on record before we go 1 second further here. Matt Money Smith, your final four.
Final four. Ooh, on the spot. Well, Seattle, Green Bay. And I'm going to abstain from projecting the AFC.
What? Don't pull that knife.
I have to.
You're not allowed to pick a game.
Red challenge flag on
What's
that.
What's going to happen if you pick? What's the downside to picking a game?
I don't want to pick a team. Oh, you don't believe in us?
You get four.
Oh, that's nice. We just hired a play-by-play guy that doesn't believe in the team. That's great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys.
I guess I can – that's more acceptable.
That's what I'm saying.
Than like, when the national broadcasts are like, I can't weigh in. I'm calling that one
that
on
I don't
NBC.
Care
like,
about.
Why can't you say who you think's going to
In the past, I've always waited on the games I'm calling. No, but when you're with the team, I don't want anybody to be like, "That's thanks,
you
thanks
know what
a lot.
I hear? Oh, so what you basically right. said
so Matt,
is that the Chargers aren't
Money
going
told
to
me
No,
the
because then I pick the Chargers,
the Chargers
and I'm a homer.
By two touchdowns.
And of course I pick the Chargers.
By two touchdowns.
There you go.
Every game.
AFC Championship, Chargers versus Chargers.
Chargers versus Chargers.
They're just going to give it to them.
Chargers. So final four of the two
Ones versus twos.
Yeah, final four.
Pat Steelers.
Right.
Okay.
Everybody's.
I'm gonna like go a little crazy, go a little outside the box here, and I'm gonna go with Seahawks Vikings.
Okay, that's fun,
interesting,
handsome.
I'm gonna go Pat Steelers. I just want to remember because I made some predictions yesterday. Oh yeah, I
yeah, Seahawks
I
Packers.
Seahawks Giants.
Seahawks Giants.
Seahawks over Giants.
N O. I have the Giants number four in there.
I'm well aware of that. I didn't invite comment.
I'm going with the Philly Eagles to win that division. But to the here and now, I will say Steelers, Patriots. Finally, the Steelers do what all of football America, or at least the vast majority of it outside the New England
Who
region.
Saw this coming.
Don't you dare.
Let's see that. What's their record?
What's their record?
Don't you dare.
I want the record.
What's their record?
We need the record.
We want a record.
I just
want to go on the record.
Only one team
go
could
on
knock
the
off the Patriots, and that one team is.
He's an oracle. Go ahead. What's the record?
Is the Ravens.
Everyone leaning in.
Is they're the only ones that
have.
We're leaning in.
I feel like you're patronizing.
Not even a little bit. I want to know.
A lot of bit.
I'm going to factor it into let's my model. You've been so accurate, I might as
first
well.
First of all, let me say this.
Oh, goodness.
I've given
gracious.
It a lot of thought. The NFC title game. NFC.
Hold on. Everybody, write down
will
what
be
you,
the Seattle on. Seahawks over the think, Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, two playoff teams from last year. Shocking.
Write down what you think Dave's Steelers record's going to be. I want to see if we can guess it here.
Getting to the Super Bowl, it will be the Seattle Seahawks. And they will meet a team
oh, for God's
that
sake.
Has claimed six Lombardi trophies, suddenly now challenged by Tom Brady and company with five. The Steelers have sat by in the 21st century and watched Belichick make his charge. Now they're just one behind the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, who rightly continue to hold the top of the mountain in pro football. But could they get knocked off? Could they be bumped aside at least and forced to make room with the New England Patriots, the 21st century dynasty? It's time to take a stand and reassert themselves. I don't want a Super Bowl appearance unless the Steelers vanquish the Patriots. It's the only way it can be. It must be that way. The Pittsburgh Steelers with home field advantage.
Hold on. Give us your record.
Give us your record. 13-3
Shush.
Is the final record.
We didn't think you could go that. Come on.
13-3
Coach Tomlin's bugaboo.
Hank and I had 12-4
Coach Tomlin's teams have struggled going on the road, playing against bum teams.
So is his quarterback.
This year, he changes all of that. I think they declare that this is a different Steelers team.
The Concorde.
Hey, guys, I've got an idea. Let's not lose on the road this season.
To bum team.
Go, coach!
That's probably actually how it's being explained to them.
Joe Philbin. Dan Campbell. You're telling me about coaches?
I just want to
know. Don't tell me what happens with coaches.
Wait a minute. Tell me the three losses then.
Don't worry about that. What the three?
Yeah. You know, they got the one there, and then the spot there.
Don't look too.
And then
close
this is they'll look past this.
They
one.
Always split with the Ravens, so they will forever split with the Ravens.
Okay.
Patriots in the regular season. This is coming up pretty close to January.
Week 15.
Maybe both teams are a little cagey and they don't show everything
they've got.
I agree with the caginess. Okay, so that's two. You only get one more loss, and there are some prime loss candidates.
Like
here.
What?
At Chiefs. At Texans.
Versus Packers. Yowzas. Which one are you going to do?
Listen.
Chiefs.
I don't have to tell you everything. I don't have to tell you everything.
The Bengals.
To show you how he got to
Cindy,
him.
Don't you like to have
Vikings.
Some mystery? Don't you want some mystery?
I just want to see which ones that are there. Like,
well, that you just shouted those all. So am I supposed to declare those all losses because they're tough games?
No, you're supposed to pick which ones they lose. You're supposed to tell me which one it is.
They're only going to lose three games.
I can't wait till this show next year when Money and I will be right with their 12-4.
I think 11-5.
We're going to make a lot about how we correctly predict Steelers.
Super Bowl 52. Seattle Seahawks will defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What?
But that's not what we're What I'm about right now is vanquishing the Patriots. As a Steelers fan, that's where it's at.
Here's what
that's
I'm about
all
right
you
now.
Care about?
That's
not all I
that's
care
like
about.
People who think that the World Series that the Boston Red Sox won, they actually beat the Yankees. People think that.
That's right.
And
they were right about that.
Check this is something
those
that
people
far,
were right
come
about
on,
that.
People.
That far too few hosts do. All right? When they have someone sitting with them and they say something controversial, they are too cowardly to say, you know what? I think you're emotional, and I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to really think about what you just said and perhaps clarify your statement, and I'm going to give you a moment to walk it back if you'd like, because I can sense that maybe there's just emotion taking over here. So let's just step back and look at this. Dave, you have had the Steelers record correct for the last five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
This is more than a bit. This is life.
No, right.
I want you to think really hard right now because it's not official.
It's the antithesis of a bit. It's straight up math. I've given you the math and been
right. Exactly right. So as the podcast has not concluded, I'm going to allow you to walk that back.
Yeah.
Now that we've kind of walked through the schedule and laid it out,
right.
Do you really want to stay 13-3, or do you want to maybe
you look at the schedule?
Do you really
before?
Want to give them a fourth loss, or maybe even a fifth loss, knowing what you now know? Because you really, you gave a fiery speech, you were excited in the moment. Maybe 13-3 just came out, and it's not what you wanted.
When you got in the car this morning, was 13-3 the answer?
That's all I'm taking.
13-3,
okay.
Final answer. Go get them, Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. I don't care. I don't care what you
think.
I wear it. I'm not going to hide from it.
No, I know how important this streak is to you. All right? And I just want to make sure as a friend, not just someone that sits in this podcast room with you, but as a friend of yours.
I have said 8-8, then I said 8-8 again. I mean, that was pretty savvy stuff.
Right.
And guess what you'd be doing?
I said 13 and
flushing
three.
It all down the toilet with 13-3.
You'll never be able to tell
that story again.
It'll be over. It'll be gone. No one's going to want to hear about this time you had it fight.
Did you guys ever hear about other teams that go 13-3 or gasp even better than that? Why would the Steel? Why is that team with as overwhelming a collection of offensive talent as the NFL? And that's not hyperbole. Has literally
this
ever
isn't
seen.
Hyperbole.
Literally.
Not hyperbole. Literally, go ahead, tell me.
What NFL team has ever thrown more offensive talent on the field than the 2017 Steelers will? The Chargers in Air Coryell, the early 90s Cowboys? Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're up there.
There's two examples.
We need to start throwing.
Yeah, let's throw some.
I just missed
throwing
so much.
You got Roger Craig. You got Joe Montana. Yeah. You got Jerry Rice. Yeah, I mean, you know, just saying.
Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. Okay.
Roger Craig.
One of the most
underrated running. And you've even helped make that case. Underrated running backs. One of the first true three-down backs that could do it all.
Not more underrated than Franco Harris. Talk about a guy who's an all-time great who people act like.
Why does it always have to go back to the Steelers?
Because
why can't we just talk about the 80s 49ers in this moment without evoking the 70s Steelers? Why can't it just sit on its own?
I don't know. That. You know what's going to sit on its own?
What?
13-3, 2017 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Dave, his record's wrong.
Make your fun. I don't know why you want to come at me right now when I'm on a five-year hot streak, friend. I'd be worried about what's happened with your team in the Aqua and Orange. All right, let's get to it, everybody. Too much Aqua. What do you make a face like that, Cindy? Why do you make a face?
Listen, we're trying to help you out, all right?
Because you're going like straight attack
angry.
Mode, right?
Yep. And you went attack mode on a team that's trying to like save themselves from a hurricane.
Oh!
Seems like a weird thing to do, but fine.
You know what?
It's in the moment, Dave.
All right. There's a division.
I know you're emotional. I just don't know if you want to apologize for that statement to me for making that analogy. Would you like to maybe
Wait, I mean, Dave just said you should worry about your team. I am worried about my team. They've got a natural disaster headed their way.
Thing to say about Jay Cutler. All right. Let's get to it, everybody. We've broken apart. Now we come back together. It is time at long last, after a long off season, for the return of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Woohoo!
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
That
all right, guys, this year we're not doing the menus.
What are we doing?
We are doing
whose voice is that?
Guy.
Oh, it's Emma VP.
How's it going?
Emma VP, you may recall, dedicated DDFP listeners will recall that Emma VP last year created menus.
Menus.
Yeah, when you go into a menu and then it says chicken marsala, it describes all the ingredients and all that. Excuse me.
You heard me. Go.
Marsala. Is that better?
Grazie.
Marsala. Is that right? Anyway.
Polo Marsala.
We're done with the menus. Now what are you going to do this
now
year to give us game descriptions?
Exactly. We're doing game descriptions as if like what's happening on today's episode of this game. So what you see on the TV guide, on Netflix.
Nice.
You're going to do that all season.
Yes.
Okay. The little blurb that runs underneath about the episode.
Exactly.
On this episode, Jon Snow gets more than he bargained for.
When he sleeps with his aunt.
Yeah, like that. But
just
like
that.
For football games. Let's start it off. The first one of the year, Raiders at the Titans, MVP.
All right. On this episode of Raiders versus Titans, Derek Carr and his teammates go on an adventure to Nashville, Tennessee, where they encounter exotic creatures and rediscover their long-lost ground game. Mariota thanks Lawan for covering for him after getting into some serious trouble on the run. And Marshawn announces he's running for Oakland Homecoming King, where he tries to bribe voters with Skittles and touchdowns.
MVP, as a television writer, has constructed her A, B, and C stories there.
Right.
In a way, you could kind of will we standardly get the A story at the very top there to establish this is the most important story to focus on
exactly
for this game? All right, Here we go for newcomers. Andrew Raby at who you can follow along at DDFP Red Flag on Twitter. He keeps track of these for us all season long. We appreciate that.
We do.
He also sent us a glorious sign with the one rule that Studio 66 has, which is, of course, no jive. So no jive. Let's get to it. The Red Challenge Flag segment works like this. Somebody makes a statement of who they think is going to win. If anyone disagrees, they can throw a red challenge flag at that person. We're going to start it off here with Cindy Freeland. Raiders, Titans, choose.
Titans.
Anyone throwing the flag? Anyone going to throw the flag?
Man, I took the Titans too, but now I'm tempted to switch my pick.
Who's just to throw a flag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just to throw the
flag. I'm throwing the flag. Here we go. My final score for that one. That's a new feature I'm going to
give you.
You're
going to do scores?
I give the spoiler alert that you can see on NFL.com and on social media in front of all the games. I'm going to share those deets with you here as well as soon as I can find it here on the piece of paper I've written down. Oh, final score, Oakland Raiders 33. Tennessee Titans 24. I have my doubts.
Yowza.
I have my doubts.
Blowout.
Really?
It's a 9-point victory. Isn't
I mean, that Raiders, that's a blowout. Yeah. 9 points is a blowout.
On the
road.
I think that defense is better than
West
it
was Coast last team
year.
Going east, playing the early game, 10 a.m. Pacific time. You got a secondary. Do you know their starting cornerbacks are David Emerson and Sean Smith? I mean, that's
not good. Not good.
That's
probably not Pro Bowlers.
You know, the undue faith that people seem to have in these Tennessee Titans. How about more
faith in the Tennessee
Titans?
Why
is everybody so over the moon about this Titans defense? I know that they're
not very good.
There's
the defense isn't very good.
There's some nice good pieces around there, but I mean they're not. I mean, listen. Dick LeBeau is the defensive coordinator, don't you know?
I mean, a lover scorn.
What about Logan Ryan? You like Logan Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. You think he's pretty good?
Fine.
Probably an upgrade from last year.
Okay.
Okay, you got some young pups.
Everybody
there.
Remembers. Everybody remembers how good the Raiders were, though.
You know what's interesting?
You gotta be careful, overestimating. Like, in your mind, like people will always sit there and like, look, I like the Raiders. I think as far as like teams go, I think they're fine.
I can definitely see them going as low as third place in that division this year.
You want to hear a wacky?
I absolutely can.
Wacky nugget about the
Raiders. Talking about this game.
I do want to hear
this game. Wacky
nugget
is so Khalil Mack. Everybody agreed was the defensive player of the year last year.
Yes.
He is a wrecking ball, just a force of an individual defensive player. He, I think, was the only guy that was top 10 in like all your major, you know, pass rushing categories: sacks, hits, hurries, all those things. You know what their defense was? So you have the defensive player of the year. Last in sacks, last in hurries, last in quarterback hits. They were like third to last in pass in defense. And yet they have the defensive player of the year that impacted the quarterback more than any other player individually. That just speaks to how bad that defense was.
Dave, you know what?
And kind of still is.
You know what?
This season we should get a wacky anti-Raiders nugget from the voice of the Chargers.
Right?
That's what he's doing.
That's what he does.
Like that?
I like it.
Here's my Raiders.
The battle for Los Angeles has commenced. Like and by the way,
Raiders Chargers. It's nasty. Right.
Raiders and Rams. Be on the lookout. The voice of the Chargers is coming to strike you down
on a
lightning
weekly basis.
How about that?
That's what we need. Every time Matt Money Smith denigrates an NFC West team or the Rams, I want a lightning bolt strike.
Got it. Okay, so
or a thunderbolt. I get confused with those two things. Lightning is the visual.
I think they have the Raiders have a harder time this year. Last year, their turnover differential, which is probably the most indicative stat of how good or potential to make a playoff a team is. So the turnover differential last year tied for number one, plus 16. But it wasn't because of takeaways necessarily. It's because of no giveaways or few giveaways. And now they're playing teams who have had a year of seeing how, you know, what's going on with this O-line, which is probably the second best O-line, maybe the best O-line, just depends on kind of how you're looking at it. I think they're going to be able to scheme a little bit differently. Now, Marshawn Lynch just changed that. Your gap discipline as an opposing defense is going to have to be a little bit different when it comes to figuring out what happens with Marshawn Lynch, who can force missed tackles. But apart from that, I don't know if they have an unsustainably high turnover differential for given their secondary or not.
You don't think the defense is markedly better this season?
The Raiders defense.
They didn't address the secondary at all. I mean, they drafted Gary Conley, but he's got a shin issue. I don't even know.
They drafted Melifonwu.
Melifonwu's not. Yeah. I mean, it's a mess.
My point is that will be, to me, that will be the bellwether or the bell cow, depending on how you want to term it from our fantasy draft. But
yeah, I resent people who use the phrase, oh, he's the bell cow of that.
I don't get it.
Unless you
can
tell me what a bell,
bell on the cow.
If you don't know why it's a bell cow, then you really shouldn't be allowed to use the phrase.
But I think that if they're able to keep those giveaways down, that's the way that they're going to be able to overcome the fact that their defense still will give up a lot of yards and potentially a lot of points.
Next up, tell us about the Seahawks and Packers episode, MVP.
All right. On this episode, it's titled Full Nelson. After years of their constant back and forth, the Packers and Seahawks power struggle comes to a head when Aaron Rodgers crosses the line after being antagonized by Michael Bennett. Jordy Nelson hosts a party in the end zone and fails to invite Richard Sherman. Eddie Lacy returns to his old stomping grounds, upset to find out he may no longer be the big man on campus.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to watch.
Nice closing
I'm
going
to watch.
Very good.
Very nice. I like it a lot. Before we get to the game pick, I want to say this. This is my annual complaint with the NFL, and I've taken it to the highest level that I possibly can. I haven't told Roger about it, but I have told.
So not the highest level you possibly.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the guys
the
who sits in the room.
Speak to
one of the
right,
guys
I
who sits with him.
That
one of the guys who hangs out with him.
Right.
I said, why do we have to have? Can't we? I say it all every year. We've been out in the desert without food for an entire off season. You know, we aren't asking for the filet mignon. Just give us some crackers. We'll be happy. You don't need to feed us
much good stuff.
The juicy stuff in week one. We don't need these important divisional matchups.
Tell
in week
college
one.
Football that.
Well, I listen. I don't care. Let's focus on the NFL and maybe even trumping these important divisional games, Giants and Cowboys for one of them. And, you know, maybe the Bengals and Ravens, it might come down to who wins this week one game. That might loom awfully important around the holidays in December. But I'll tell you what, the Seahawks and the Packers in this decade have played a number of really big games. The Fail Mary game happened in week two, if memory serves there. That impacted playoff seeding for both those teams. The following season, they start the year off. You'll remember that the Seahawks, upon winning the Super Bowl, then hosted the Packers. They whipped them, and that impacted playoff seeding that year. Last year, week 14, later in
Packers
the season.
Destroyed them.
Packers destroyed them, and that really let the world know, wow, team is not good without Earl Thomas.
That was the exclamation point on the relax statement, you know, or whatever that was. You know, calm down.
Right.
We're all good. Everything's fine. And that was the whooping.
So these games are awfully important stuff. And like I say, these are two perennial playoff participants this decade, and they're playing each other in week one. It just doesn't feel right. You know, it doesn't feel like we needed to jump to this critical moment. As MVP tells us her stories about and lays out episodes, this seems like we're getting to the juicy stuff a little too early in the season.
Dave, it's funny you say that.
Disagree.
It's like if the dragon blew, was blowing the blue laser stuff at the wall in episode one of the scene. Well, that's the climax, you see.
You don't look like the type of guy, though, that saves the best food until last.
I'm taking the Packers.
All right. Money? You're gonna, I mean, handsome?
Yes.
I'm taking the Packers.
I will.
I think
I'm going to take
like
the Packers,
cookie
too.
Monster.
I'm going to take those Packers, too.
That's right. I'm taking it back, is he? I don't, maybe you'd find me platitudinous, or not platitudinous, but hyperbolic, I should say, when I say that the 2017 Steelers offense throws, it's up there at minimum with the greatest firepower an NFL offense has ever put out onto a field to start a season. How about that Seahawks defensive front? In our lifetime, lives, how many four-man fronts have offered the talent that they have now with Sheldon Richardson?
Right.
It's crazy.
Adding Sheldon Richardson is stupid. I mean, it really is.
And with that secondary, they're going to be so good. And that's why they're going to beat them in the NFC Championship game.
And Bobby Wagner and company in between. They're so loaded.
Yeah. It's
crazy. And yet, I'm with you on the Packers. I can't try. 26-24, the home team wins that one. Everybody, any thoughts on the game?
I have a bigger margin of victory for the Packers.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. How about you, there, handsome?
I mean, I haven't thought about the score. Assignment.
All right, Cindy and I handle the
advanced. We do the heavy lifting.
We do the advanced metrics.
How about that? The Seattle Seahawks. So I think since the Sheldon Richardson trade, the world over has declared them the NFC representative in Super Bowl 52. We sweep the Packers, knocking them off. It speaks to
what we think of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's really what it comes down to.
Next up, MVP, tell us about another important game in Week 1, an NFC East tilt that's always juicy.
Exactly. This episode of Giants versus Cowboys, titled Let's Hear It for the Boys. Dak must overcome a major hurdle in his ongoing coming-of-age story as he hopes to avenge the team's defeats from just a mere season ago. Eli finds himself in some sticky third-and-long situations, forcing him to rely on his trusty wideouts to keep him afloat. Paul Perkins makes great strides under added pressure.
I like the hooray for Hollywood sound alike underneath. That really sells it. All right, let's start it off here with Handsome. A lot of people excited about the Giants. A lot of other people excited about the Cowboys. I say it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles winning that division. Who's going to win in Week 1, Handsome? Choose.
Dave, I picked the Giants to win the division, but I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game.
Ooh, with Zeke and company, anyone going to throw a red challenge?
Can I change?
To what? Yeah.
I'm going to throw it. I'm going to go Giants.
Cindy, you're going to eat it?
I think Dallas.
There we go.
Look at that. Two and two.
I'm going with the Giants as well here. Yeah, I feel like everybody's just decided because Zeke's playing, well, that equals victory at home.
I had it before. I had them winning even before.
Even without Zeke?
Even without Zeke.
Dak Prescott was not good against the Giants last year. He was really bad, as a matter of fact. And that's because, it's a hell of a pass rush with Vernon and JPP. And when you're a young quarterback and you're forced to make decisions a lot quicker than perhaps you'd like, as great as that offensive line has been, the Giants gave him fits. And I think a lot of it's Landon Collins as well.
I agree. I think the issue, though, is how's Odell?
Understand.
Paul Perkins is new to this whole thing, and it's hard for the Cowboys defense to just play Perkins, take him away if Odell's playing. But I think without Odell,
fantasy play would be Evan Ingram.
Cindy and I park our cars in the same garage. I think the rookie breaks out in Week 1 with a touchdown and 80 yards as the Giants win 24-20.
I think he has a nice
that could have been
game.
Part of the description of the episode, you know? Like,
but
once that's next week's.
You can't put that in
right.
the episode
it would
description.
Kind of, yeah, be the spoiler.
Spoiler, exactly.
I'm with you there, Cindy. And you know, I continue to be baffled. Jerry Jones has made some very good personnel moves and deserves a lot of credit. More credit than
factoring
it seems like
Jalen
he gets.
Smith, anyone?
Yeah, Jalen. Am I factoring him to this game, into the season?
I hope so.
Sure, we'll see what he has. But
Young secondary, and then you've got Jalen Smith, who could be just
here's to me the thing that makes me scratch my head and has about 4 years. Terrence Williams, you're never going to try to upgrade on the other side of Dez Bryant. Like, yeah, let's do it again with Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley and Jason Witten is another year older, as we all are, but it seems like it will impact his performance on the gridiron more than me talking will be being a year older here. Yeah, it's
fair.
It's Zeke, it's Dez, and that's it. And then you're just riding on the offensive line, which is a little degraded from what it was a year ago.
Yeah,
I'd like to ride on behind that line, though. If I were going to have, if I were going to be run at by 300-pound men, I would like that line in front of me.
Next up, I just had nothing to add, Cindy. Yes. I don't want to leave you hanging there, but I'm trying to move on to the next one here. Monday night, September 11th. Let's get to it. MVP.
All right, the Monday night episode of Saints versus Vikings. After his 10-year on-the-field-again, off-the-field-again relationship with the Vikings, Adrian Peterson returns to the Twin Cities with his flashy new teammates, eager to show his ex-squad what they're missing. Breeze builds on his rekindled chemistry with sophomore Michael Thomas, and Bradford persuades his O-line to stand up for themselves in a series of hard-pressed confrontations.
Very nice.
That narrative at the end there. Something we already discussed.
I also like that the name of the show is Adrian.
Oh, yeah. Are you here? Yeah, were we including?
That was why you said it for me.
That was really good.
Excellent. Go ahead, Cindy Freeland. You're up. Saints, Vikings. Achoo.
Skull.
I'm with Cindy, actually. I'm sticking with her on that. Explain yourself, Matthew Smith, in this NFC title game reboot from the year that the Saints got over on Peyton.
I know
that classic game with Brett Favre.
I acknowledge that Vikings defense is impressive.
Yep.
The line's great. The secondary is great. But I still have major concerns with the offensive line and the offense. I do think Dalvin Cook's going to be great and everything that all the fantasy folks believe he's going to be. But, I mean, you had Stephon Diggs who struggled last year. Adam Thielen was a nice story, but they were coming from behind in a lot of those games. They kind of weren't relevant anymore. So it's hard to project in a game that's week one, two teams that are looking to turn it around. I mean, you look at the Saints last year, they really weren't that bad. I mean, they lost. They just had high-scoring affairs that either they didn't have the ball last or something. You know, the ball just did not bounce their way at the end of those games. And Drew Brees still threw for 5,300 yards. And Michael Thomas is ridiculous.
Yeah, what's the old line about that, most NFL teams are all 8-8 and you have to give or take
right.
a couple of close wins or losses. The Saints of 2016 kind of
were they 7-9, I think, right?
I mean, that Broncos game that they blew right. at the end of the there were a few of those that went against the Saints.
They're better.
They also stole a game or two as well. But still, I'm with your point there. Handsome, what do you make? You think the Saints are going to go up there and take
That's
care
what
of
I
business?
Think. Yeah, I think, well, week one is, you know, it's always a bit of a coin toss. But I also think just the passion that Adrian Peterson will bring to that game and the fact that I think his new teammates will want to do something for him. I think the Saints are going to go up there with a little bit of attitude and win it.
All right, I'm
going
with
the Bengals. I think you're overlooking that Willie Snead's not playing. You've got Michael Thomas is incredible, but
when has Drew Brees ever relied on like a particular receiver? Like it just doesn't matter.
Who are you? You're not getting Xavier Rhodes and Michael Thomas. Like I just not. Sure.
I mean, just like go through the receivers that Drew Brees has had. You know, Michael Thomas is the most talented receiver that he has ever had.
Right, but it's,
if I get it doesn't matter for him.
Then I'm much happier, Camper. If I get to double team him with and I put Xavier
but you
Rhodes
can't
on
because
him.
Ted Ginn for all his drops, he's still going to take the top off of defense. He's still the fastest guy on the field.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not good. He's just not. It's just not a.
I won't have you discount Tommy Lee Lewis.
I was just going to say.
I won't have
I'm
it.
Hearing Matt Money Smith right. He's saying this is a Kobe Fleener breakout game.
Well, that is my one Fleener. Concern about the Saints is that since they have traded and look, it worked out for them. They
for
gave
sure.
them stability on that offensive line with Unger, but since they have traded Jimmy Graham. Fleener is certainly not the answer. Joe Hill's not the answer, and that's the one thing they got to figure out. Josh Hill, I should say, he needs that tight end, man, and Fleener is just way too inconsistent.
Let's bring it on home. I don't know if Money's going to be willing to pick this one. I suspect he will not.
I will.
The Monday night, the back half of the doubleheader, that's always – see, that's a fun annual thing as we get the doubleheader on Monday to start the NFL season off.
Who's
right.
calling that game? Chris Berman back?
No,
Beth Mowins.
Right,
is going to be on play.
First
by
woman
play
ever.
One, as a matter of fact, yeah, on Monday Night Football.
Nationally call up. Is that there? Surely has been a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Call local. I mean, locally, right?
I think there's been a. There has been a female that's called a nationally televised football game. I believe that has happened before.
It's definitely happened in college football.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe not the NFL.
I think
maybe
I saw
this
a headline
is not just
that
Monday.
It never
this
happened
the
in
NFL.
The NFL. But either way, MVP, tell us all about it, won't you?
All right. In the finale of this week, week one, on Chargers versus Broncos, episode titled "The Tale of Two Melvins." It's the best of times and the better of times for superhumans with the same name, Melvin Gordon and Melvin Ingram. As they lead the offensive and defensive resistance against a divisional foe, once again proving that the Melvins are far more than a quirky coincidence. Simeon gets thrown into the fire after his big promotion, and Talib embarrasses Allen in front of the whole stadium.
It sounds both wacky and yep. also, you know, quite dramatic
it's
as well. The Melvins. That's what it is.
Exactly right.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, the Melvins, one of my favorite stories, that as a pro football team attempts to overcome what seems impossible to me, having not one but two guys named Melvin on it.
Prominent players,
Prominent
no less.
Guys. How is that? It's not a chess match. It's a football game. How can you expect to win with two guys? It doesn't seem right. The Steelers almost had to deal with two guys named TJ, which may be even nerdier than two Melvins on the same
team. I don't know. I think Melvin's a little nerdier.
Mm.
TJ could be like Thomas James or whatever, like a nickname.
I did give the Melvins, I was pleased to hear, as a matter of fact, I gave them a couple of MVP went out and bought at a local record store a couple of Melvins records and gave them to them. And I understand that Melvin Gordon has
it
prominently
it?
Displayed. In his locker.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
What kind of look did Melvin Ingram give you when you handed that to him?
Well, I don't know if it translates on the radio, but it was this one.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yep.
What is this now?
Next question.
Forget the band specific.
Yes.
I handed him a record.
What is this?
Right. What do I do with this
record?
Is this food? I don't know what you do with this
Is this food?
Wiki. Scratch it.
Who's up here? It's a handsome Hank. We'll start with you. Chargers. Broncos. Choose.
Broncos.
Anyone else?
I need a flag. I need a flag.
I threw one at him.
Yeah, I'm throwing it at you. I've made that. That's my division champ pick right there. I'm going with Philly and company here. Cindy, tell us about it.
Philly?
Rivers.
Oh, really? I was like, I thought
Melvin.
We know Eagles. You're taking the Eagles.
I know.
How many times are you going to tell us?
My stupid phrasing. Yes, I apologize. Yes,
I was we know you like the Eagles.
The Melvins. I like it all except for the uniforms. They need to go back to a different uniform. But anyway.
I got Broncos.
Oh, you've got Broncos.
We have Chargers.
Explain yourself.
Yes. Yeah. You want me to explain myself? All right, here it comes.
Here we go.
Explain.
As the radio voice.
Yes. It seems as though the consensus surrounding the Chargers is depth. They have serious depth issues. But if their starters can stay healthy, this very well is the most talented team in the AFC West. 11-11, all 22 starters. But they have been bit by an injury bug. Well, they have all 22. You know, granted, Denzel Perryman's gone, but that's not as impacted when you have Bosa and Ingram. And that's the key. You know, Garrett Bowles has looked good so far in the preseason. But when you got Menelik Watson on the other side, and you got to figure out how to slow down both of those guys, and it's Trevor Siemian back there throwing the ball, and then you factor in the defensive backfield, you know, the secondary of two Pro Bowlers, Verrett and Hayward, it's just that's a lot to overcome. Now, granted, offensively, they have not played well in Denver. I just don't know if it's the same Denver Broncos team without Wade, without T.J. Ward, without DeMarcus Ware. You know, they took a little bit of a hit there. So it's not easy. It's the late game on Monday. It would certainly be an upset, but I just think talent-wise on the field, the Chargers are the better team in this game.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can even label that an upset given what you just reeled off there. I mean, that's the first game of people want you to believe, Broncos fans certainly, how dare you disrespect our mighty defense that won the Super Bowl. I don't know if you heard. It's not the same defense anymore. Yeah. Guys have moved on.
Shane Ray's hurt. Derek Wolfe's got a bum ankle. We don't know what that's going to be like, you know, because that's really for all the pass rush, the middle of that line is what made the big difference. You just could not run on that team. Not only couldn't you pass, you couldn't run on them, you know. And if that's sort of banged up a little bit, that now opens up lanes for Melvin Gordon. That opens up things for Phillip Rivers, and that's
– It is an ominous start without Perryman, who he has been out there, has been – You know,
and that's
like
that's the position they're the finished at too. That's the other big issue.
But I do. I mean, the Bosa and Ingram up front, and then on the back end, you have those two corners. Egad.
First game of the season. Remember last year? Close your eyes, rewind, and look into the Cam Newton Panthers coming into Denver. Everyone's like, "Oh, they're gonna get crushed. It's not even a good opening game." Blah, 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 blah. What happened in that game?
I don't remember.
Close.
It was close. Last minute field goal.
Is that what it was? I forget.
Cam got knocked around by their defense.
Oh, yeah, he got knocked hard there, like the first
drive. Oh, that
was
the story of week one is, oh, no, they didn't protect him well enough.
That's
and everything.
Exactly right. The NFL didn't protect him.
Okay, well, I don't want to talk about that story. But I just meant that
you
have extra time in the beginning to scheme and figure things out. And you have Elway, who's – I mean, I've said this before. I'll say it again. Elway, who will be able to –
Is he taking snaps?
create an opportunity for – a game plan and a script and help kind of figure out the pieces. When you have a little more time, I think you get a little bit more chance to have an upset, especially against a divisional foe. That, to me, tips the scales in favor of the Broncos. Not by a ton, but by...
I say visitors 23, Broncos 16, and because I'm a completionist, I want to say that I have the Vikings winning 25-21 there. Hanson, your thoughts there. Did you have something to throw
in? I was only going to say that, I mean, money's right, but it's not really the first 22 that they wanted because the interior of their offensive line is not who they would have set out to have started with the Chargers.
They would have liked Forrest
Lamp. I think that will wind up being
a big issue
for them with that defense.
It's funny, when you said week one, like right when you said that, I immediately thought you were going to the Chargers whooping the Kansas City Chiefs in that first half with Keenan Allen because he's unguardable. I mean, if you try to guard him straight up, it doesn't happen.
Well, and that's good guard him. I mean,
even with Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why that's going to be that's the best individual matchup of week one, period. If you want to enjoy football, watch those two guys, arguably the best man corner in the league and arguably the best man-to-man receiver.
Well, like you say, Allen whipped Marcus Peters.
He gets hurt.
Held up at
and then what happens? I think they were up like three touchdowns, and then it just goes downhill from there. So
but I still think chaos in the beginning of the season or, you know, I think you have to factor in that you've had longer to game plan for your deficiencies. So if you have the better defense.
So we take the Chiefs over the Patriots?
I think that it'll be a closer game than most people think.
Reese Jones-Drew's with you. Go back and listen to episode.
No. I'm not going. Don't liken me to that. I saw. No. Belichick is a better coach.
I like the heat that Maurice got. Maurice is a man. He stood up and took it. He stood
correct.
Right there in the middle.
Sure,
of
he
the
was
fire.
Standing up. Didn't look like it.
Well done.
Handsome Hank tracked down his great work these days. He's focusing on the international end of things here. Mexico City,
series.
London times. I don't even know how many anymore.
Four.
Do you have anything to do with who gets to play in those games? Do you help schedule them?
I mean, no.
Schedule them?
No, there's no, I don't have scheduling duties.
Is that why Miami's over there?
Let's get the Dolphins for three of those four.
They're there for one.
Handsome, but yes, do track down the great stuff on Facebook and otherwise with Kay Adams and the rest of the gang he has doing stuff. Really interesting stuff. Head-to-head competitions with soccer guys against NFL guys. It's very fun stuff among all the other stuff. Cindy Freeland has her new podcast along with Matt Money Smith. Be on the lookout for that. Game Theory and Money, and also you'll see Cindy Freeland all over all NFL media platforms throughout the season, including Game Day Morning. Check that out. Matt Money Smith, PMS, look for it on iHeartRadio. Watch him on NFL Fantasy Live. And, of course, we couldn't be more thrilled for him getting to call the L.A. Chargers games. It is really.
He's like a four-down back.
He was born to do it.
He's like a four-down back. He's our Swiss
Army. I'm a man of justice, and I like when people do what they're supposed to do at the highest level. Matt Money Smith, the best in the business, getting to call NFL football. It's grand stuff. Don't you play me off. I haven't even touted myself yet. I want to tell you about Eternal Red Zone, available on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm not sure if it's getting another run on NFL Network. It's Eternal Red Zone, the Tom Brady Super Bowl edition. Not just for Patriots fans, by the way. You may remember that they lost a couple of those Super Bowls. It's great stuff, though, watching that stuff back. And the Pick'em Show airs on Saturday and on Sunday, 9 a.m., 2 p.m., 11 p.m. on Saturday. Check it out, won't you? We'll be back at, you know, I mean, you want to keep playing that game. It's a game you're going
to
lose.
Now you were close. You were about to start it,
so
and then
close.
You realized, son of a gun.
I missed it.
He will be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you after week one and in front of week two to break it down. I think we have Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew paying us a visit on Tuesday, so be on the lookout for that as we break it all down. On week one, 13-3 Steelers. Hey! Wait, I'm not
yes,
done.
You are. You're
you
done.
Are done.
It's been
I was
thin slice
now,
of heaven.
Play it now.
It's been
I,
a thin
I'm
slice
on.
Of heaven.
The email. Listen, the tweet. Play it
the
now.
Email.
Play me out. Play. I just want to say this. I've already started getting the tweets from people.
About?
Oh, well, I can't stand how much you hate the Cowboys. Oh, why do you hate the Patriots so much? For the record,
because they
I don't hate
teams.
Any of your football
because
teams.
They beat
I hope
Steelers
all your teams win every game they play this year. How about that?
Wrap it.
Unless they're playing my team.
Right.
Missed it again.